Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 5 of the Common Grounds Unity Podcast. Jesus valued unity and prayed for it. We believe unity begins with Jesus-centered relationships, gathering around a table, sharing a cup of coffee or a meal. We like to say unity begins with a cup of coffee. So grab a cup and let's get started with another episode of the Common Grounds Unity Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 156 of the Common Grounds Unity Podcast. Today we are excited to begin a new series called Eyes to See, Ears to Hear. And we're going to be focusing on how we pay attention better to those around us, the world God's created, and God's movement in our lives. Here with me today is Tina Bruner. You know and love her if you have been a fan of this podcast for a while. And so I'm going to just turn it over to Tina to introduce our guest for today.
Hey, Drew. I am so excited that we have Jim and Lindsay Long on the podcast today. And I can hardly believe that we're already at episode 156. It's just incredible, the amazing people we've been able to talk to and hear from. And Jim and Lindsay, why don't you start by just introducing yourselves? How did you get involved in spiritual direction? What's your background? So that our listeners can learn a little bit more about you before we get into our questions.
Okay. Thanks, Tina. I'm Lindsay, and my background, I've been a Christian since 1987, trying to follow God, doing the best I could. Hit a crisis of faith about 8 years ago, which led me to soul shepherding, wanting to pursue some deeper healing and pursue something different. It was eye-opening to step into a spiritual formation kind of dynamic with God and to learn from Bill and Christy Gaultier. Lots of healing started to happen. I realized that my view of God was one of that he's just disappointed. I'm not growing. I'm not changing. I'm not doing enough for him. And recognizing that needed to shift. That wasn't the God that I read about in the Bible. So we joined the soul shepherding cohort. And the first time we were there, one of the first meetings we had, they were talking about introducing a spiritual direction program. Had no idea what spiritual direction was, but because our family of churches was very invested in discipling relationships, though not in the most healthy way, when they explained what spiritual direction was, I was like, this, I love this. I want to know more about this. So we jumped on board and joined that program. And it was just the way to walk with people relationally was life-giving. So in learning that, a freer, lighter way of walking with people, and then experiencing my own healing and growth and reorienting my view of God has just been, it's been transformational to, there's no other word I can think of. And so it's been a journey, a process, and one that I am still fully engaged in. I've got so much to learn, and life's become an adventure. God has become, I fully know that he delights in me right where I'm at. So that's where I am. We are lay leaders. We are not in ministry, paid ministry staff or anything. So we're just walking this walk.
So, Jim, how did you get drawn into this type of work? And it is ministry. So what drew you to this?
Well, it was like Lindsay said, it's been a real journey. And my journey started with a lot of childhood trauma and wounds bubbling up. It's been in 2014. And I didn't know anything about spiritual formation. I didn't know anything about spiritual direction at that time. But there was not a lot of talk about inner healing or healing of childhood trauma and wounds in our tradition. So I started looking for other resources, and so came across John Eldridge, who had recorded this series called The Four Streams. And when he got to the healing part, he talked about integrating back the younger version of yourself the more innocent version back to the older version. And so that was really the beginning for me, because I had gotten to another, you know, my crisis of faith, that it just was not sustainable. Doing more, praying more, could not, quote, baptize my way out of it. There wasn't anything that I had been doing that was going to stop, the kind of pain and this bubbling up of all this, this pain. And so I really dove into everything I could find about healing. That kind of culminated at Restoration of the Heart. It was an event that John Eldridge and somebody named Dan Allender, who is well known in the counseling fields, they did this big event. And it was all the therapy stuff that I had done came together. It was one of the first events that had ever really put the two together, Christian talk therapy and inner healing together. And so they really showed how that would work. So that was amazing. And then that was the first time I heard the name Dallas Willard. And I thought, if John Eldridge is reading somebody, I want to read whoever he's reading. And so we came back and did a real search of Dallas Willard, found video on YouTube. I found his books, way too many books. but I began to really understand what spiritual formation was. And it was really healing that led me to that, because even after the healing, I still needed to deal with my character. There were things that happened because of that trauma, those trauma and wounds and coping things that I did to cope with that pain that needed to be transformed into the image, you know, into Jesus. So that's what really drew me in. Spiritual direction, like Lindsay said, was great, because where instead of being so outcome-driven discipleship, it was much more about helping first myself, but then helping other people discern the presence of God. I think, you know, when Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know God, you know, to have that intimate relationship with him, to be attuned to him, to be aware of his presence, instead of just grinding out the things that we think we should be doing, and even all the good commands and the good things, that's not sustainable for a faith. In that journey, we have to come to a place where we really want to clarify and change our narrative of God, so that we're aware of his presence, that we are living in his loving presence minute by minute, every moment of our lives.
Lindsay, I really like what you said at the end of your introduction, kind of like that, you know, now that God delights in you. And that is a gift to be able to get to that place. And yeah, it sounds like spiritual direction was a tool that God used to help you, for that to be how you feel that God feels toward you.
Definitely. It's been, because the practice is so much about being still, stillness, listening, attuning to the spirit within us. First, I wouldn't be doing or enjoying spiritual direction if I wasn't receiving myself from God, you know, to know what to offer anybody else. I couldn't just gin that up and white knuckle it and pretend. That's not what it's about. But what soul shepherding did, and when we went through the Dallas Willard School of Kingdom Living, those cohorts, being in community with other people pursuing a similar desire of spiritual formation, specifically getting away from the dogmatic doctrine police kind of mindset, and let's really explore how God meets each one of us, who he created us to be, opened a space to, I don't know, really listen and know that we weren't doing something wrong. We weren't on the wrong path. We were definitely on the right path. And it really opened up that community of many people coming from an evangelical background who had very similar experiences that we did in our tradition of churches and wanted something deeper, wanted something more. And as we learned that because we were so focused on the performance, the performative, the outcomes, there wasn't a lot of introspection and self-reflection, growing in self-awareness. So to have that space created to give us permission to walk into those areas, and we can say more about that later, really learning to be still and listen, because for you don't realize when you're doing that how disruptive it is. When you stop the noise, when you learn how to center and be still and know that God is God and let God meet you there, the things that we have to wade through, the negative tapes, the self-talk, the, you know, all of those ways we view God really become clearer. And we need that space to do that. And yeah, so sitting there, one of the first times I had just a time of quiet was I was asking God. I had stopped everything and was like, I need you to show me who you are, because I have had it so wrong. I feel like you're disappointed. You're judging me. I'm just not good enough. And when I stopped and had those times of just being quiet, one of the first times I heard what just in being still and listening was, I love you. And did I hear it? I can't tell you what voice that was or anything like that, but it was definitely something I would not have said to myself. And I knew that. So I chose to receive that as God saying it to me. And the more I made those decisions and choices, as I put myself in positions to stop and listen, it was wonderful. And so there was a lot of healing, recognizing that my negative self-talk, I was projecting that onto how God thought about me. And so separating that, learning how to separate that. No, that's not God, how God thinks about me. And so being able to receive that delight and know that I can't do any more, be any better, be any worse than I am right now for him to love me any more or any less than he does.
That's powerful. Being able to rest in his love and let go of all the striving and performance-based spiritual religion. It's so freeing and so simple, and yet we make it so difficult. Jim and Lindsay, I got to meet y'all about a year and a half ago at a Abide retreat focusing on spiritual formation. And I know the other participants and myself were just tremendously blessed by your leadership and guiding us through some spiritual formation exercises. But I want to kind of pause a little bit and just back up and say, what is spiritual formation? We'll get to more closer definitions of spiritual direction in a minute, but when you talk about spiritual formation, what do you even mean by that?
Well, I guess I'll go first. I think one thing, and I, in thinking about, some of the questions this morning, I think it's very important to, with all the talk of spirituality out there right now, that it's important to put Christian in front of spiritual formation, because there's all kinds of spiritual formation out there. And so, of course, with what we're talking about, what we're inviting people into is Christian spiritual formation. And so that brings it a little more focused into the process of being innerly transformed, our soul, our desires, our wants, our heart, into the image of Christ. So there's a lot of language in the New Testament. Spiritual formation does not show up in that language, that term, but conforming to the image of Christ shows up constantly. Transformation shows up constantly. And so spiritual formation is just a term that talks about the process by which we cooperate with the Holy Spirit in being inwardly transformed, not just our behavior, not just the things that we do, not all those shoulds that we put on ourselves, but innerly transformed. And so from that transformation, that's where behavior comes from. And so if we focus on who we are becoming, and we're cooperating with the Holy Spirit, it has to be driven by the Holy Spirit. I had a spiritual director tell me one time, she said, "Jim, my dear, the problem is you want to be the star of your own transformation." And it went through me like a spear, you know, because it's true. I just wanted to strap on more to activities or shoulds to be conformed, when really it's got to be a spirit driven process. So we have to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in order for that to come about. So that's the process. That's a really long answer, Drew. But.
Well, it's a very, you know, profound topic. And so, yeah, it kind of requires a more fleshed out answer. But I love that you mentioned it's specifically Christian, being formed into the image of Christ. And I drive for Uber, and I gave a ride to somebody who's talking about how they are very spiritual, and but basically the way she was talking about it, she didn't believe in any kind of God. I'm like, I have no idea what you mean then. Like, I'm not sure what you mean by spiritual if you don't believe in just any spirits, namely, you know, a God. So anyway, but yes, very, very important distinction there. Christian spiritual formation.
And I like what you said, Jim, like the cooperating with the Holy Spirit. So we aren't able to do it on our own. And also, like, it's not that we do nothing, but it's like that cooperation with the Holy Spirit. So in light of that definition, or that kind of fleshing out of what does it mean, how do you all see a focus on spiritual formation helping us grow closer with God and with each other?
Wow. How long do you have?
Well, I think for me, as we give ourselves a term Lindsay likes to use a lot, is giving ourselves permission to have that inward focus with God, you know, to sit with God. Then if that's really happening, I guess a quote keeps coming up when in this, and it's a quote from Henry Nouwen, which I know you guys have discussed Henry Nouwen, but one really powerful quote of his is that solitude is the furnace of transformation. And that's so important, because solitude can be so disruptive. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to understand that in solitude, it's not me time, you know, it's not just going off and, you know, just thinking about me, but it's sitting with God. It's a disruptive thing, because all the things that you think you should be doing or not doing or whatever come rushing in. Nouwen talks about the monkeys on the brain, you know, when you try to sit in solitude. And I think when we make a practice of that in different ways, then we begin to be formed into the image of Christ that way, where we see his unbelievable love for us, acceptance right where we are, not where we think we should be, not even who we think we should be, but who we are right now, then we begin to see other people as image bearers of God. And we begin to view other people as God sees them. And so if we see other people through the eyes of God, then we love people. You want to be the person that your first intention of either your friends or your enemies is what's best for them, willing what's best, which is what love is. And so that affects our close relationships. That affects those people that really irritate us, that, you know, that are those people that are hard, that are hard for us to be around. It affects everyone. So as we begin to be more and more transformed into the image of Christ and see people the way he sees them, then it's love is going to flow out of us, his love, not anything we've generated, not a bunch of to-do lists or techniques or anything like that, but genuine love flowing out of us.
Was it, was it Dallas who said, who I become is the most important thing I'm bringing to the church?
Right.
And it's something that, like Jim was saying, doing the work for yourself first, and growing in that, if you need to change your view of God, if you need to experience some healing, giving yourself the space to investigate behaviors. You know, I might be the difficult person that people are bumping up against all the time. What is it about me that's, you know, what am I bringing into those relationships that make it difficult? So it's, but I'm doing that. My posture and mindset now is to do that work with God, to not, there's no pushing, there's no rushing. One of the most powerful lessons I heard was in that Restoration of the Heart workshop that we went to. Dan Allender did a trauma workshop, and it was so validating to hear what trauma does to how your body holds trauma, how it impacts our behaviors. It's and it just doesn't go away when we get baptized, or you know, the Holy Spirit comes in, we have the Holy Spirit with us. Those things don't just go away.
Right.
And so there's giving yourself, I do like the word permission, because it gives me a space to be for freedom to investigate those things and take the time to look and learn, how did some of these behaviors come into play? And as I grow and let God heal some of those places, then that's changing me as I'm receiving from God. Then I'm starting to have some things I can give away to others. Mm-hmm. Because I'm experiencing God and receiving God for who He created me to be. And I'm learning more and more about who my true self is. You know, you guys probably, I know you, true self, false self, shadow self, that kind of language, you know, those things that we, those protections that we all put in place to people please or look good or, you know, put our best foot forward. We can start coming from a place of peace and calm and not from drivenness, you know.
I think too that it gives us something, it gives you something to give.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those of us that, you know, kind of require a scriptural context for any of this, you know, when Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and he won't thirst anymore, then out of his belly will run streams of living water. I think in that simple scripture, he's talking, you need to be filled up before you can splash out on other people. You know, what we give to other people, either in spiritual direction or in other relationships, we have to be, it has to spill from an overflow. If we don't have that, if we're dry, if we're, you know, if we're not being filled up and putting ourselves in a place like Lindsay was describing, where we can receive, because sometimes we have to learn how to receive God's love. Sometimes we push back on it. We have to learn how to surrender to love, as David Benner would say in his great book, Surrender to Love. We have to learn how to do that. That's not going to come naturally because of our internal forming that we've already had.
That is such a interesting dilemma that you bring up. You know, you talk about Jesus inviting us to come to him to receive drink, and, you know, and then he elsewhere says, you know, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, I'll give you rest. These sound wonderful. And you talked about having peace or experiencing the love of God. These are wonderful things. And it's like, if I'm thirsty, I go get a drink. There's no obstacle standing between me and the sink where I fill up my cup. I get a drink. Why is it so hard for us to come get a drink? Why are so many of us heavy laden? And why are so many of us thirsty and are not really deeply engaging in connecting with God for that refreshment and that rest? What are, in other words, what are the obstacles that typically keep us from coming to Christ in spiritual formation?
Well, don't ask a loaded question, Drew. Thanks. Do you really want to know?
Yes.
Personally, my experience, I did not grow up with any religious background. My mom gave me a children's Bible that had really cool pictures in it when I was young. And I always had a curiosity about God. And I believed that there was a God. I believed in him. But in terms of consistency, going to church, things like that, I did not have a church culture that I was formed in until I really started seeking. And then I was just popping around, searching for different things. I came to our tradition of churches in 87 in New York, and it was instantly a community. I saw people living out what I was starting to read in the Bible, putting things into practice in their lives. It was invigorating. It was exciting. It was so brand new. And people were, the term, fired up, you know? And I loved it. And it was the first time I had a community of people who really I felt accepted and wanted. Things got a little authoritative and legalistic a couple years in, and the drive to have goals of inviting people, Bible studies, it became all about the outward, the performance, and you know, what are you doing for God? You know, Sky Jathani's book With talks about, you know, under God, over God, for God. It was a lot of for God work, serving. And so there was not, if we hit kind of any place of question or hardship, it was really to put it in simple terms, the comeback was read your Bible more, have more faith, study the Bible more with people, invite more people to church. And so it was a lot about the doing, and there was not a lot of introspection or reflection. How is God really with me? You know? I functioned from that place for, 20 plus years until it became, and it was unsustainable. It was a lot of white knuckling. So finding that peace really was asking, what do I think of God? How do I think? Who is it that says, you know, what you think about when you think of God says a lot about you? It's important to question, but there wasn't a space to, there really wasn't a place to question a lot if we didn't kind of follow the train, you know? And it finally became, when we moved here, there was a lot of things that imploded in 2003 that validated a lot of things people had felt. And it was a very challenging time. But when Jim and I moved, we moved for family reasons. Both our parents had, our moms had gotten cancer, and we came from New York, the New Jersey area, to Georgia to be with our families. And at that point, the church that we kind of came into was part of our fellowship of churches, and they hadn't experienced things like we had in New York yet, but we got down here, and that summer everything here imploded. And
just in time.
So we went through that twice, and that was tough. And I backed up, said, I don't want to be needed. I don't want to jump into anything. I don't want to do anything. I need to step back. And from then it was, I mean, that was 10 years of just kind of functioning, you know, but not really thriving in a close walk with God until we really started pursuing some healing. And that came about, actually, we had, both of us had done a lot with the chemical recovery ministry in New York. Both of us come with families in that background, with addiction. And so we had started dipping our toes back in as people started experiencing some separation from the events in 2003, started seeing some needs for some of these groups to re-engage, you know? And so we started doing a chemical recovery group. And we just noticed the same old wasn't working. It wasn't going deep.
Right.
It really, the whole idea of behavior modification was really present, and it was frustrating. It was like, this needs to be different. Something needs to be different. And so that's when we kind of stepped back from that and started pursuing healing through with John Eldridge and going to that Restoration of the Heart workshop. Mm-hmm. And
I think we really came to see that any kind of compulsive sin or behavior, usually sin, is usually, I would say 99% of the time, rooted in some kind of trauma or wounding. There's something deeper going on there. You know, it's that description that Paul uses in Romans 7, you know, that we're living in that Romans 7. And we can modify behavior. We can, what Dallas Willard would call the gospel of sin management, right? But it doesn't address the underlying. I mean, when you look in James, when it says, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you can repent better. No, it doesn't say that. It says so that you can be healed. And so I just believe that with any kind of compulsive sin, that there's something going on that deeper that we have to pursue healing from Jesus. And Jesus continues to do what he did when he was physically on the earth. He is offering healing, but we have to cooperate with him. We have to put ourselves, because he doesn't make us be healed. We have to seek him. We have to desire that. And sometimes that's where a spiritual director can be so helpful, is to really be able to point out things like that.
Thank you so much for the conversation so far today. There is so much that we've talked about so far, and we would love to continue this conversation. So in 2 weeks, we will have Jim and Lindsay back as we continue the conversation about spiritual direction with Jim and Lindsay Long. So we look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you for listening to the Common Grounds Unity podcast. Please check out commongroundsunity.org to learn about who we are and to find gatherings in your area. You can also subscribe to our monthly digital newsletter, join the Facebook group, or find our YouTube channel. Until next time, God bless, and remember, unity starts with a cup of coffee.